Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 drop session. In this lesson, we're building an urban echo style drum and bass drop with that gritty old school jungle energy, crunchy sampler texture, and a lot of FX driven movement. The goal is not just to make things loud or busy. The goal is to make the drop feel alive, like a machine with dust, memory, and pressure all running through it at once. We're working in that main drop and pre-drop transition zone, where every little detail matters. In this style, the effects are not just decoration sitting on top of the groove. They are part of a groove. Echo throws, reverse hits, filter sweeps, resampled drum fragments, all of that helps glue the drums, sub, res, and atmosphere into one unified system. That's what gives this kind of track its dark urban tunnel feel. We'll aim for a classic drum and bass tempo, around 174 to 176 BPM. Start by setting up a clean session with a 16-bar loop. Keep your track layout simple and functional. Create tracks for drums, bass sub, bass res, crunch sampler, FX returns, and atmosphere or top texture. That organization matters because in fast music, clarity is power. If your session is messy, your arrangement will get messy fast. Now, before you start adding sounds, define the shape of the drop. Think in 4-bar phrases. Bars 1 to 4 are your main groove. Bars 5 to 8 introduce variation, maybe a few extra break chops. Bars 9 to 12 bring in tension and FX movement. Bars 13 to 16 should feel like a switch-up or a call-and-response moment. That structure gives the listener something to hold onto while the texture evolves. And one important habit right from the start. Leave headroom. Try to keep the master peaking around minus 6 dB while you build. That gives you room for the sampler crunch, delay tails, and bass movement without everything collapsing into a clipped mess. Let's start with the drums. Load a classic break into Simpler or Drum Rack. If you want a classic sliced break workflow, Simpler in Slice mode is a great choice. Slice by transient and keep the edits tight. If you prefer a more MPC-style approach, use Drum Rack and map your kick, snare, hats, and break fragments onto pads. Either way, the idea is the same. Build a drum bed that feels performed, not looped. Anchor the groove with a kick on the 1, snare on 2 and 4, and then fill the offbeats and pickups with chopped break material. Add a few ghost snares before phrase changes so the groove has that old-school urgency. This is one of those subtle things that makes jungle feel human and restless instead of stiff. Now add some controlled glitch texture. Beat repeat works really well here, especially on a send or insert where you can dial it in without destroying the main drum pattern. Try an interval between 1/8 and 1/16, a grid of 1/16, and a chance somewhere around 10 to 25%. Keep the gate moderate, and if the repeats start clouding the low mids, high pass them a bit. You want the effect to feel like a flicker, not a blanket. For swing, use the groove pull carefully. A light MPC style or shuffled 16th groove can help the break breathe. Keep it subtle. If the timing field gets too loose, the track loses its tension. In this style, it should move, but still stay locked. Then add drum bus to the drum group. A little drive, a touch of crunch, and only a small amount of boom if needed. The goal is to roughen the drum texture and give it a more hardware-like edge without flattening the transients. You want the snare to crack and the break to chatter, not turn into one smashed block. Now let's build the bass foundation. Think in lanes, not layers. Each element needs a job. The sub provides pressure. The res provides motion. Don't let them fight for the same space. For the sub, use operator or a simpler loaded with a sine wave. Keep it mono, clean, and disciplined. Short glide can help if you want slides, but keep it tight. Most of the sub should live below about 90 Hz. In drum and bass, the sub does not need to be busy to feel strong. Often 2 or 3 notes per bar is enough, as long as the rhythm supports the drums. For the res, use wavy-table or analog with detuned saws, some filtering, and a bit of saturation. Let it live in the mid-range where it can move and growl. If the low mids get too wide, clamp it down with utility and reduce the stereo spread. Keep the low-end mono. That's essential. Width is not the same thing as power. The bass rhythm should feel like a conversation with the drums. Let the sub hit on the downbeat, then have the res answer in the spaces around the snare. Leave empty pockets. That space is what makes the groove hit harder. A lot of beginner drum and bass sounds crowded because every sound is trying to speak at once. Here, we want each part to own its lane. Now we get to the core of this lesson, the crunchy sampler texture. This is where the track starts to gain identity. Create a new audio track called Crunch Sampler and set it to resample or route audio from the drum and bass group if you want more control. Record a few bars of the drop while you play with mutes, filter moves and bass accents. You're capturing a moment in motion, not just a loop. After recording, drag that audio into Simplr and start hunting for small fragments. Look for a kick tail, a snare crack, a bit of bass rasp, some room noise, maybe a break spill. These tiny pieces are the DNA of the new texture. The point is not to build another full loop. The point is to create a memory of the drop. Process that texture with stock effects. Saturator or overdrive can add crunch. Echo can give you dub-style trails. Filter delay can create asymmetrical reflections. Redux can add sample a bit grit if you need more broken character. Auto filter gives you movement. Start light, then automate the amount over time. A good echo setting might be a dotted eighth or a 3/16th feel, with moderate feedback and a dry slash wet amount that moves from 0 up to around 25% during phrase ends. Use the filter on the echo return so the delays stay out of the low end. The low mids and subs should stay clean and controlled. Then chop that resample into tiny hits. Keep a few as one shots, use a few as reverse pickups, and place some right before the snare or at phrase endings. If the sampler texture sounds like a random loop, it's not doing the job. It should feel like a living part of the arrangement, like the track is remembering itself. Now let's make the FX behave like a performance. Use return tracks for echo, reverb, and maybe grain delay. That way you can automate sends instead of printing everything permanently. This gives you more control and keeps the arrangement flexible. On the echo return, keep the delay time lock to the tempo, maybe 1/8 or 3/16. Set the feedback so it trails but does not wash out the groove. High pass the return so it doesn't interfere with the bass. Then automate sends on key moments, like the last snare of a phrase, a bass stab at the end of a bar, or a vocal chop if you've got one. The idea is to make those ends feel like they're being thrown into space. Use auto filter on the crunch sampler and maybe on the bass res too. Open the filter gradually through bars 9 to 12, then close it sharply into the next phrase. A brief resonant sweep can create that sucked into the tunnel effect. That kind of automation works so well in drum and bass because it creates motion across the phrase, not just inside the bar. Now think about the arrangement like a DJ would. Bars 1 to 4 establish the groove. Bars 5 to 8 add a few extra chop details. Bars 9 to 12 create tension by removing one layer, opening the filter, or increasing the echo throws. Bars 13 to 16 should feel like a switch up. Maybe the bass does a small restart. Maybe there is a half bar gap before the next phrase. Those moments of contrast are what keep the crowd engaged. A really strong old school move is the drop and drop trick. Mute the bass for half a bar, let the break and echo ring, then slam the sub back in. That tiny void before impact can be huge in a club. Sometimes subtraction hits harder than addition. If you want to make the drop feel even more dangerous, consider a shadow drop variation. That means duplicating the main drop and changing only a few elements. Maybe you remove the most obvious bass movement and replace it with shorter stabs and more break edits. Maybe you swap the sampler texture for a more filtered, distant version. Small changes can make a second section feel like a new chapter without losing the identity of the track. Now let's talk about mix control, because this is where the crunchy sampler can either sound expensive or ruin everything. Use EQ8 on the crunch sampler and high pass it so it stays out of the sub range. Depending on the sample, that could be around 120 to 200 Hz or even higher. If the texture gets harsh, cut a bit around the upper mids. If it gets fizzy, low pass it a little. The sampler layer should add grime and history, not compete with the kick and sub. On the bass group, check mono compatibility. If the bass loses impact in mono, your res is probably too wide or too modulated in the low mids. Reduce the stereo spread and simplify it. In bass music, stability in the low end matters more than fancy width. On the drum bus, use glue compressor lightly. A small amount of gain reduction can help the break and kick sit together, but don't crush the transients. The snap of the break is part of the energy. If you flatten it, you lose the urgency. A few common mistakes to watch for: too much low end in the sampler texture, echo throws masking the snare, a res that's too wide, or break edits that sound random instead of intentional. If you're not sure whether the track is depending too much on FX, mute the FX for a bar and listen. If the groove disappears, then the drums and bass are not strong enough on their own. Here are some advanced ideas you can use as you build. Add a reverse break fragment under the snare for a ghostly inhale before impact. Resample the bass through echo and saturator, then blend a tiny amount back in for extra machinery. Use grain delay on a parallel return at a very low mix for unstable tunnel texture. Try tiny pitch drift on delayed textures only, not on the sub. And if you want a stronger phrase turn, Save your most dramatic echo throw for the end of bar 8 or 16, not the beginning. Another strong concept is negative space automation. Instead of always adding more, automate one element away for a bar. Remove a hat pattern. Drop the bass response for a beat. Let the sampler texture disappear and then return. In dark drum and bass, absence can hit harder than complexity. For the arrangement, think of the 16-bar drop as 2 8-bar chapters. The first half establishes the groove. The second half becomes more fractured, more unstable, more worn in. That arc gives the drop progression without losing the core identity. It's not about constantly changing everything. It's about controlling tension.